Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
Years ago, when I started working here, before I started working here at Countryside full-time, I was on my fourth career, which was sales. I was selling for advertising for a media, a certain type of media, not in Spearfish, out of the area, and I was not good at it. I was not good at sales. And I was so not good that I had a sales manager that actually said to me, James, you know, if you would translate, you know, those really good relationships that you're building into more sales, this company would be way better off, man. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. I don't know what to say about that. And the truth is that it wasn't just that I wasn't good at it. It was also that I was unhappy there. I was unhappy with that particular job. I was unhappy working at that place. I was unhappy working with the people that I was working with. And I was praying to God every day while I was at that job, please, God, just get me out of here. Just take me away from this place. I don't want to be here anymore. And so I asked my life group at the time, would you all pray for me to find a better job? A job that more suits me, and then I would talk to pastors and I would say, would you pray for me to get out of this situation? I'm not enjoying this as much as I thought I would. And so every day I would put in for more jobs to get out of the situation. I would submit my resume, and I would even dress up my resume so that it would look particularly interesting for that particular job. I wouldn't even know what some of these job descriptions meant. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, engineer something. That doesn't sound like me, but I need to get out of this. And so I put my name in for everything. And wouldn't you know it, some would pay more, some would pay less, but I wasn't called back for any of it. And so I did this continuously for, I believe, for about half a year, maybe longer. And I was so exhausted at the end. I was so miserable, not just at my job, but then it boiled over at home, and then it went into my spiritual life too. I was serving here every Sunday before I started this process. And then I went to this deep, dark place where I just didn't even know if I was worthy enough to come here and worship God. And so I backed off completely, and I kept taking steps back. It was not a good situation. That's basically what I could have started with. It's not a good situation, and then saved you all that time, but I really wanted to paint that picture. Now, during this time, I was sharing my plights with a really good friend of mine, and I'll never forget. These words stick with me for the rest of my life. He responded with this. He said, James, could it be that God wants you right where you are, right now, because he's developing you for something greater later on? And what that told me was that I needed to find a new friend. I was like, man, I don't want to hear that. Are you crazy? Like, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear you're going to help me find a different job. You got a buddy of a buddy of a buddy who's got like this high-paying job that I can just coast right into. No, I don't want to hear what I need to hear. I want to hear what I want to hear. Ain't nobody got time for that. So why do I share this story with you? I share this story with you because I think that we do this. I think we fall into this trap more often than we realize, where we're drifting away from God's purpose, God's calling in our lives, because we're too focused on a vocation or a job. I think we get things mixed up, and pretty soon we're missing out on what God's calling us to do. Instead, we are just focused on what we feel like we want to do or have to do. We're walking through this series called Circles. It's been an amazing journey for me, I know that, as I sit and I hear every single message and I think, wow, this really is challenging me to become more mature in Christ. And so what are we doing with these circles? It's been our hope that we've been looking into our own lives every single week regarding these six circles of maturing in Christ. It's right out of Colossians 1. We'll get to that in a second. But the six circles that we've pinpointed are delight, disobedience, doctrine, development, discipline, and dependence. Pastor Mark took some of the more challenging ones, like sin and doctrine, and I am so grateful for that dude. Like, he did an awesome job, and it's always good to have a boss that wants to take that from you. And it's always good to say your boss is a good dude from the front of the room, by the way. So maybe I'll get tomorrow off. President's Day, thank you very much. Wink. Okay, we started in the circle of delight. When we talked about finding the joy in our journey with Jesus, and remember, we want to instead of we're having to. We don't want to look at our journey with Jesus as we're having to do this. We want to look at it as we want to. Then the circle of disobedience. Realizing that going my own way instead of God's way creates a distance in our relationship. And will I trust him? And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mark talked about doctrine. Really knowing the truth about God, about Christ, right out of God's word in the Bible. Now, hopefully you've gotten a chance to check out our resources on teamcountryside.com. You can find all of those messages on our website as well. But our resources are available under the Next Steps tab. Now, on a personal note, I spent some time working on that, so give me a shot, okay? Like, that would be awesome if you checked that out. We're also providing an opportunity for maybe some self-evaluation, some self-growth opportunities on that as well in a survey. But for each circle, every Sunday, we're also giving some time for self-evaluation. And today, we are exploring the circle of development. The circle of development. Okay, let's get to Colossians 1, 27 through 29. This is what Paul writes. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And so today we're going to be focusing on these three words that are in there. Present everyone mature. Present everyone mature. What exactly does Paul mean when he says present everyone mature? Because it sounds like something you'd say when, you know, like you'd hear when you were growing up, right? Like things that go along with sit up straight, quit hitting your sister, stop cheering for the Vikings, take things seriously in life, you know? Be more of a mature human being. Any complaints on that? Mark@teamcountryside.com. Teamcountryside.com. So is that what Paul means though? Grow up, you're not taking life seriously? Kind of, okay? So let's do that quick self-eval right now. Just take a moment, and this isn't a moment to feel guilty, okay? This isn't a moment where I'm going to ask you this question. I don't want anybody here to feel guilty, but it is a time to reflect. Would you consider yourself growing as a follower of Jesus? Interestingly enough, as I said this first service, crossed my mind that when I was doing sales one time, I sat across from a guy, and he was a Christian, and he said, well, James, are you growing or are you dying? Because it's one or the other. Whoa. I don't know. Do you want to buy some ads? My job's dying. I don't know. But would you consider yourself growing as a follower of Jesus? Now, be honest with yourself, okay? You don't have to be there yet. It's okay. But do you feel like you're headed in the right direction? As a follower, we know that God is wanting us to be more and more like Jesus. So what does that look like in our lives? Does that mean our journey is over when we accept the grace provided by Jesus? Does it mean when we get baptized and we stop growing after that? last weekend, were you here? We had 10 amazing testimonies expressing how people were giving their lives over to Christ as they got baptized. And wasn't that an awesome day of celebration? Did you catch that day? That was great. We have Blaine and Lacey up here leading worship. They were part of that, and it was just so wonderful to see them and others a part of Countryside getting baptized. But let me ask you this. Did they cross the finish line at that point? We specifically put this in baptism informational classes. If you've ever been a part of this, you've heard this. Being baptized, getting baptized, is not the end of your journey. It's just the beginning. So they all heard that before they entered that tub. Does it mean that since I'm in a life group or a Bible study and I go to church every Sunday? Okay, well, some Sundays. If I go to church some Sundays, then I don't have to be concerned about this circle of development anymore. Is that what this means? I would say, and I would challenge you, that this circle of development becomes more and more crucial the longer that we follow Jesus. Over the last week, I can't tell you how many times I prayed every day for those 10 individuals who were baptized last week. I was praying that they would recognize God's calling for each of their lives. Those of you who have accepted the gift of salvation, okay? Do you remember what it was like when you had that fresh faith? Do you remember what it was like? Think about it. When you first discover your purpose in following him, you're on fire for doing this, right? But as time goes on, maybe it's just about checking some boxes. Maybe you wake up one day and you realize you're not growing. You're not developing. You're not answering God's call. Not the way you thought you would be when you took those big steps, those big experiences of salvation and baptism. And the reality is that God has given us all a call on our lives. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." And you see, there's a big connection between being called and purpose. Big connection. What do you think of when I say the words call, or when I speak about making a call or getting a call or be called? You know what's funny is that we don't even use phones to call anymore. They're just computers walking around in our pockets, right? But some of us may remember picking up the telephone and ordering pizza, right? Remember, you ordered pizza, or maybe, well, no, never mind. There's an app for that. I recently called to order coffee, and literally the lady told me on the other end, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't take this order. We actually have an app for this." I'm like, "Oh, thank you. Sounds good." So I downloaded the app and did it that way. But my point is that calls are still a thing. Let's flip this now. Think about if someone calls you. See, now thanks to caller ID, we can choose who we want to talk to, right? I remember when that wasn't a thing. You just picked up the phone and gambled your life away. You didn't even know. But now, you know who's on the other line, and you get to decide whether or not you're going to take the call. Yeah, seriously. Now, how often do you look at the phone and say, "I don't really want to talk to him right now. I don't have time to deal with her." At my house, my kids watch the iPad sometimes for their movies. And the iPad's connected to my phone. So when someone calls on my phone, you know what happens? It comes through the iPad. And my kids must think it's a game because they just go, "Whoop, hello?" And I don't know who these people are sometimes. And they definitely don't know who these people are. And I'm just caught, like, they walk out, "Daddy, it's for you." And like, they're just walking around with the iPad now. And then I've got the iPad, I'm talking to it. It's just a disaster. And so sometimes I don't want to talk to the people they answer the phone to, but if that's one of you, you know, if you've been on that end of Enley's conversation, God bless you. You're amazing. But we don't always want to talk to the people who call us, right? Come on, like, be honest. Don't lie. It's church. Don't feel guilty, but don't lie. Now, what if God called you? What if God called you today? And when God calls you, how do we respond? Do we send it to voicemail? Do we just silence it and ignore it? Do we quick text back and say, I'm sorry, God, I'm in a meeting right now? And some of you are like, oh no. If God called me, I would be answering that thing. I know who it would be. I think we silence those calls more often than we believe. I think we send it to voicemail and say, not now, God, more often than we think. So what did that verse in Romans say? God is calling. You've been called. Why? According to his purpose. It's his purpose. Does this have your attention? I could stand up here and do the Oprah thing if you want. You got a calling, and you got a calling, you got a calling, you got a calling. But these aren't free cars, so it's probably not as exciting, right? Okay, the Bible says, I've got a calling. I get it. But what does this calling even mean? What are they trying to tell me here? The word call in Greek is the word kaleo. And did you know that this particular word is used over 100 times in the New Testament? Most of the time, it's talking about the opportunities that God is giving us to develop, to live out our purpose. Your call. Now, that's just one translation. I don't know if that's real, you know, Bible translation, blah, blah, blah. The Latin word, okay, the Latin word that is used is another word you might have heard when you're thinking about calling. It is the word vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare. It means to speak. It means to call. The Bible says your vocation and your calling, they're one and the same. But if I asked you right now, what is your vocation, you'd answer with your job, your career. How do you make a living? That's what our vocation is. But God is saying that our calling is actually not just our career, not our 9-to-5. Our calling is far more significant, far larger, far more all-encompassing than just our career. It's greater than that. And if you look back in history, the Bible is all about God calling people. People who struggle to answer that call from God right away, maybe sending it to voicemail or quick texting back or even ignoring, like Moses and Noah and Peter and Paul and Mary and the other music groups, I'm sure, along the way. Anyway, some of you got that. That's good. But God is calling you. You're not alone if you're not answering his call in your life. Did you know that? I just listed people in biblical history who were not, they were reluctant to answer the call. Once you recognize it though, and God grabs a hold of you, now that you know that you're being called, how do you react to God's calling in your lives? What should I understand about God's calling? Well, the first thing is this. And this is listed out in your notes. My calling is a gift from God and is for God's purpose. It's a gift. It's a gift for you to help you grow, to help you develop as a follower, as a disciple. And it has a dual purpose also in helping other people too. Now, I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. I don't bargain for it. That sounds like a lot like what I was trying to do. God, if you just get me out of this job, I'll do what you want me to do. No. I don't bargain for this. It's a gift from God's grace. In Galatians, Paul writes, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased through God's grace. And what is grace? Grace is getting what we need instead of what we deserve. Grace is God knowing every dumb mistake, every sin that I commit, and yet he still chose to create me. And that goes the same for all of you. Jesus calls you into a relationship with him. That is where development really starts. And so this is the beginning of him calling you to your purpose in life. You were made by God and you were made for God. And until we start to understand it, life is not going to make sense. We will continue to drift. We will just float along and we will get bored and frustrated and upset with no purpose. Now, it's a gift for me, but the reality is that God's calling is about his plan for my life, not my plan. His dreams for my life and what could be, they are far greater than any dreams I could fathom, anything that I could ever imagine for myself. And when I'm sitting here wondering, why am I going through this? It's so important to remember that there's a purpose in this greater than where I go to work and for whom I work for. My calling is from God, and the career, or careers if you take my route and some of us out there, is just how I make a living. Believe me, I've had more jobs, some good, some terrible, some paid nothing, some paid a little more than nothing. Some had great coworkers. And then there were jobs where my coworkers allowed this to happen to me while I was gone this last week. Now, that's a warning sign, right? I mean, like, if that's your office door, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I did. I opened the door because I'm not scared. So go ahead and show the next one. That's my phone. That's my phone there. Yep. Okay. I don't know what this is. Keep it here for a second. What? Like, what is, does this mean I'm a dead man? What does this mean? How am I supposed to take this? Okay. All right, now, then I came across this. Warning, huge aggressive spider under cup. Do not pick up until ready to squish it. Now, look at the bottom of the cup. I want to say that spiders can sneak out of small holes like that. I trust that. Well done. I know, I have my sneaky suspicion on who did that, but I don't know for sure. But, you know, my point is, my coworkers allowed that to happen while I was gone. I'm just saying. They're great. Look, my calling is more than my job. Can we say that all out loud? Can we say that together, actually? I'm going to count to three, and we'll say it all together. And we're going to say, my calling is more than my job altogether. Ready? One, two, three. My calling is more than my job. It actually feels a little like shackles coming off, right? And if you're a follower, you have that calling. Ephesians 2:10. And we'll spend some time in Ephesians. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It says we are God's masterpiece. Ooh. Okay. I got one more translation for you, but this is so important to hear. This is important to hear on a cold day like this because you want to get warm, right? Well, think about this. The word there in the Bible is being used in Greek. It's the word poema. Poema. What does that sound like? It's the word we get from poem. So, you are God's poem. You are God's work of art. You are God's craftsmanship. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you think that you're not treasure to God? Do you think that God would send his son Jesus to the cross, his only son, to the cross to die a horrible death for anything less than what God deems as his greatest treasure? He did that for you, and that's you. Would you humor me for a moment and pull out your phones? This is a fun moment where if you brought your phone, I'm going to ask you to pull out your phone. And I'm going to ask you to send a text message for me. Not to me. I did get them in first service too. So if that's happening, I know I'll probably get one from Scott over here. That'll happen. Okay. But send this text for me. Okay. Pick a person in your contacts. Could be somebody that's been on your mind, in your prayers. Could be somebody that you've been hoping to start a conversation with. Pick someone in your contacts. And they need to hear this today. You say, hey, and you insert their name, comma. You are God's masterpiece. Now, I know some of you are single and you want to take this moment as a pickup line. And it's Valentine's Day. But please refrain. It's a church, too. I want to thank you for doing that. But why did we do that? Because they need to hear, whoever it is, you need to remember, you were not put on this planet just to breathe, take up space for X amount of years, and then die. That's not the point of us being here. I don't believe that, and I think if you're here today, you don't either. Now, when they text you back, just let them know you'll be available to talk more about this in about 15 to 75 minutes because James is jabbering on about stuff. But this is the stuff we need to know, okay? You weren't here to simply be a consumer. The world wants you to be a consumer. Every TV market, every product we buy, those things want you to be a consumer, but you're not a consumer. Don't be a consumer. You were put here to be a part of something far greater than yourself and any of those companies trying to get your attention. You are here to be a part of a movement, and that's God's movement on this earth. And God makes us all different and gives us all different assignments within our calling so that everything in his world gets done. Do you see how we're all part of it? We're all part of it. Yes, my calling is connected to others. My calling is connected to others. My calling, my assignment from God in life, my purpose, the dream that God has for me, believe it or not, is connected to other people. If I'm going to grow and develop, it's most likely going to involve some kind of community. Calling and community, they do go together. It's like the parts of your body, they're not very useful by themselves unless they are connected. The Bible calls the church the family of God. Also, it's called the body. And we're all members like a hand, eye, nose, feet, everything connected to this body. How do you get connected? And you start here at the church. You start here. Trying to connect, I know, over the last year has been interesting, to say the least. It's been different. The new realities have led us to get creative in connecting, and we are working at that here at Countryside. We have continuously tried to get creative about connecting. But in Ephesians, Paul writes, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope." For the future, God will use your community time to help you develop. It is in connection with others that I can fulfill my calling and really grow. I wouldn't have been able to mature in that moment without that friend that I really didn't need, or really didn't want, I needed. And along the way, we don't always feel equipped, right? But have faith and believe that God empowers what he calls me to do. In other words, if God has given me an assignment, he's going to enable me. He's going to equip me. He's going to empower me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to give me the ability to do it. And he won't just lend you the tools, right? He'll give you the tools for the rest of your life when you need it. God called Moses and Jonah and Jeremiah and Peter and Paul, and the list goes on and on and on, and all felt totally unprepared and reluctant to answer God's calling on their lives. But they did. Therefore, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. That's Ephesians 4:1. Notice the calling is a lifestyle. God is calling you to this lifestyle. Your family and church, they'd benefit greatly if you were more intentional with your pursuit of maturity. Your needed area to develop might be due to a lack of focus. God did not randomly choose you or haphazardly position you. He chose you because it's you. So now we know we've been called. We believe this calling is from God. What do we do with this? Now I can just share with you, going back to my dead-end job, quote, moment of my life, I matured in a few different ways and became more focused on calling instead of career. I went out to find friends like the person who was talking to me. I went out to find friends who challenged me to grow. In other words, if you want to be wise, you've got to hang out with wise people. Until I realized I was being called by God, I was kind of surrounding myself with people that I was considering that I was actually saving them. But what I was realizing was they kind of just kept telling me what I wanted to hear. Things that would make me feel good instead of what I needed to hear. Instead of encouraging me to chase after God, I became more self-destructive. Now, maybe you're looking around and wondering how to connect. I would say it's right here. Checking out a life group would be a big step. We've got groups for women and men and couples, young adults, Celebrate Recovery, Bible studies. We have it all. And if I didn't have my life group leaders and friends from the group steering me in the right way, away from drifting, I may still be disgruntled and unhappy, but just at a different job. The second way I matured, once I found those wise people who would speak truth, is this. I started to ask questions of those people and accept their offers of corrections. That's humility. Just get sidetracked a little bit. I always used to say this to another pastor that worked here. We always had this joke, like, I'm the most humble guy you know. Maybe you remember, maybe you know this. Anyway, sorry. Look, the more I do that, the wiser I become, right? The more we experience, the more wisdom we can experience when we're with other people who we ask questions for. And one great way to do this is get into this one-on-one discipleship at Countryside and through a small circle. We're just rolling this out for this series, and we'll continue to have it available hopefully forever. Small circle can be this life-changing experience for if you're willing to give it a try, though. It's one-on-one. It takes some time to go through with the other person. But if you're interested in doing this, let us know. Come talk to me, and we'll get you connected with somebody to do this with. And let us know how we can help. If you're already doing this, let us know that you're doing this. This is awesome. But I found friends who challenged me to grow. I asked questions and accepted corrections. And my third way that I experienced maturity during this time was to fully submit my best for God's best in my life. I know that this is a moment of, what does submit mean? You know what it means? It means that you're okay saying, I don't know, God, but you do. As I said before, God's best is infinitely greater than I could ever imagine. So why am I fighting this? And God called us, each of us, to develop for his purpose in our life. Take a look at what Paul writes about developing as a follower of Christ in Ephesians. We will walk through this kind of bit by bit. about our calling and what God has for us, each of us in our lives. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Shepherds, teachers, ministry. Look, when we're mature in our faith, we can maximize our gifts for God's purpose. In Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, there's that maturity thing, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's he saying here? He's saying our work is incomplete until every church member is fully complete. Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Don't fall into consumerism. The more spiritually mature we are, the less likely we are to drift away. In Ephesians 4:15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. It requires loving honesty to experience total development to pursue Jesus. And in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The more you are who God called you to be, the more opportunity it is to show others who God called them to be. Now, there's one more truth I want to give you before you leave today. And this is it. There's a prize for living out my calling. There's a prize for living out my calling. The prize we experience, some of us are like, oh, did he say prize? Did you say I get a prize? What's that, Captain Kirk? Who doesn't? You guys were thinking it. Come on. I like this sweater. But who doesn't love prizes, okay? Who does not love prizes? You know, if I could translate what my sales manager was saying, he wasn't wrong, actually. My sales manager, all those years ago, he was saying, if I could translate my relationship skill into real sales, that company would get a prize. I mean, I don't know if I'd get a prize. I guess there was commission involved, but that's not the prize that I was really seeking. That wasn't going to fill the hole in my life. The problem was bigger than just my job. It was deeply rooted in not knowing my bigger purpose while working at that job, and overshadowed by my sales manager's criticisms and critiques in my life, I couldn't hear God's calling for me. God's calling probably went something like this. You know, James, your sales job can lead to great opportunities to form relationships with people. People that every day that could open the door to conversations about me. And that is why I have you at that job right now, because you're developing for something bigger. That company, your customers, they need to hear more about Jesus. And so I've submitted. I finally just handed it over to God. I gave up. I didn't quit my job. But I submitted, like I did when I got saved. I accepted that grace, like I did when I accepted the salvation. I shifted into knowing that my job became the prize. It was a part of my calling. It became a ministry. My wise friend may have been onto something. I'd never tell him that. He'd get a big head. Maybe I should stop and hear what he's saying, though. See, I was focused on the purpose I wanted for me. And I even tried to explain it away. Well, it would be better for my family. But really, it was for me. But God was trying to open my eyes to those around me, right where I was. It isn't about a change of job or a change of scenery. It's about a change of direction in my life. Where are we pointing? You may find yourself in a less than desirable situation right now. You didn't think you'd still be working in the job that you're stuck in. You didn't think you'd have to deal with the boss this many years. But man, Some of you might be saying, job? What job? I haven't worked since COVID. I'm sorry to hear that. It doesn't have to be about a job, though. It's more than that. It's something that's speaking over your calling when your calling should be speaking over it. Whatever you're facing, hear what I'm going to ask you in this moment. What is God showing you? Have you been equating who you are with your vocation or whatever it is that's got a hold of you instead of your life calling to share his love? Your career doesn't define you. This thing that is on you, it does not define you. And so it's our turn, church. It's our turn to rise up and hear what God's calling us to do. As we've been doing all of this whole series, we want to give you an opportunity to respond. And it's in your notes today, and you'll find all of these opportunities here. And we're going week by week. My intentional spiritual growth plan for this series, number one was delight in Jesus. And I will delight in Jesus more than, and whatever you need to put that there. Two, disobedience puts space between me and God. My top sinful tendency that I need to address is blank. What's going on? Just name it. Number three, knowledge of God's truths is important to my faith and growth as a follower of Christ. And so with that, the main doctrine for me to study right now is blank. What is that? And number four, this week's, I will continue to develop my faith. And currently, I need development in learning how to, what is that? God's calling you. God's calling you. He's calling each of us. And today is the day. You don't let it go to voicemail. Today's the day that you're not going to ignore it anymore. Simply answer the call and pick it up and say, I'm ready, God. I'm excited to discover and develop and live out the call that you made for me. Pray with me, if you will. Father, we come to you and we thank you for choosing us, God. We thank you for the call that you put in our lives. God, we thank you for knowing that we are a masterpiece. We're your masterpiece. And we believe that today because you wouldn't send your son to experience such a horrible death so that for anything less than what you believe is treasure. And so we trust you in that, God. Father, I ask right now for those of us in the room who need to hear your voice to renew the call in our lives. God, let them answer that right now. Father, you put a call on each of our lives, and I just ask, give us fresh faith so that we can hear with open ears, open hearts, open minds, God, that we can know where you're directing us. Father, open our eyes to what you want us to see, to what you want us to do. And Father, for those who are here or hear my voice online, God, maybe they don't know you at all and they just want to take that first step. That first call of salvation is calling on them. So if that's you, you can pray a simple prayer in your head as I pray it. You just say, Father, Jesus, just come into my life. I don't want to do this alone anymore. I don't want to carry this junk anymore, and I'm sorry for the ways I've sinned. And I turn this all over to you. I ask for your forgiveness, and I want to follow you. Even though I might not even know what this looks like, I'm ready to take this step. And for so many of us, Lord, we just need to know. We just need to know what is going on in our lives. But God, we also need to be okay with not knowing. So God, we know that you're at work. That's what we know. This is not a moment of questions. This is a moment of understanding that you've got this call on our lives. And so God, we answer this. Lord, tell us what you need from us. And we love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.